Such a privilege and honor to be able to share God's word with you tonight. Numbers chapter 13. And tonight I want to talk to you about having faith over fear. Faith over fear. You know, when you think about fear, I would say fear is probably the most prevalent spirit that we see at work today. Let me give you just an example. When it comes to the elections that we just had, and I'm so thankful they're over, all right? No more ads on TV, all right? But I'm so thankful. But if you notice with the election, it wasn't necessarily based on the candidate and their values and the principles that they were running on. Many times you're voting for someone because the fear of what would happen if someone else was in office. In other words, instead of basing it off someone's character, it's based off just fear of what could happen. And you see, that's how fear works in our lives. And the thing is, as people of God, God's calling us to live a life of faith, where we trust in Him, where we rely upon Him, and we look to Him. And one of the beautiful things that we have in Scripture is how we can learn from those who have gone before us. And when we look at God's people, we're going to see some things. I would love to say that we are much different than the children of Israel. I'd love to say that. But the reality is that human nature is human nature. And that we all deal with the same temptations and issues that humanity has always dealt with. And so what we're going to look at is we're going to see, what does it look like for us as the people of God to walk and live by faith instead of walking and living in fear? So we're going to look at Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 25. That's Numbers 13 and verse 25. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's fine. You can follow along with me. And it says this: after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. So Moses sends out 12 spies, and they have now come back. And they reported to the whole community what they have seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses: we entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. So they come back with the amazing, bountiful fruit from the land. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." You ever had a friend that they're just, you know, "Let's talk later. Let's go now. We'll talk later." All right. This is what you have with Caleb right here. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers," and that's what they thought too. So you can see in this picture how the people are overwhelmed with fear, even when it came to accepting and believing a promise that God had given them. So we're going to pray, and God's going to help give us understanding to His word. Father, we thank You for Your presence that's here with us tonight. We love You, and we thank You that we get to seek You. And we know, Lord, that when we seek You with all of our hearts, we find You. And so, Father, we just come before You in Your presence, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us through Your word. I pray, Father, that we would hear the voice inside the voice. That as I'm proclaiming Your word, that Holy Spirit, You'd speak to each and every person here. You'd help them to see, Father, You've called them to have great faith and trust in You, Lord. And Father, as they put their faith in You, that nothing is too hard for You, that nothing is impossible for You. So Father, we pray that even tonight, Lord, that You would break the chains of the enemy. We pray tonight, Lord, that You would give us eyes of faith, Lord. And Father, not only something that we would say in word, but actually something that we would believe and call upon You to do, the impossible, the supernatural, in our hearts and in our lives. Thank You for the privilege of hearing Your word. Thank You for who You are. And thank You for what You have planned for us tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So here you have, after the miraculous Egyptian captivity, or being delivered from Egyptian captivity, the children of Israel, they start on the journey. journey to the land of promise. And after giving, God gives the law to his people at Mount Sinai, Moses gets 12 men together, one from each tribe, and he sends them to explore the promised land. Now, when they get to the promised land, what's so amazing is as they're exploring it, they return after 40 days. And when they return with some of the fruit of the land, and they actually have a report of how amazing the land is, but also the obstacles and the difficulties that they're going to face. Now, what scripture tells us is that when the 12 spies return, that 10 of them have a discouraging report. In fact, not only does it say that, but it says they spread discouraging reports about the land among the Israelites. So it wasn't just that they came back and gave a report to Moses, is they come back, they give a report to Moses, and then they go among God's people and they start spreading this report as well. So this would be kind of like picking up the phone. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going through and they're letting everybody know what they experience, but not only what they experience, why they can't take the land. Now, what we also know is that there were two spies, Joshua and Caleb. Now, what makes it interesting is that in scripture, you don't remember the names of the 10 spies. You only remember the names of Joshua and Caleb, those who lived and walked by faith. So Joshua and Caleb, they come back with a good report. Now, what makes this so amazing is that when you think about us and the way that we work in our relationships, what you find is that peer pressure and the majority wins. So you have the 12 come back, the 10 turn against the two, they spread a bad report, and then the majority wins. So it wasn't what God wanted to take place when, it was actually what the people decided in their own hearts would happen. And I would say that this is a reality of our lives, that sometimes in our lives, that human wisdom overrules the plans of God. But what we have to understand is that the consequences cannot be overlooked. The consequences of doing our will instead of doing the will of God cannot be overlooked. In fact, not even when it comes to this generalizing it as my plan versus God's plan, when it comes to living and walking by fear, the consequences cannot be overlooked. You see, because the people decided to respond and walk in fear, no one at the age of 20 years or older was allowed to enter into the promised land. You see, it's pretty amazing the consequence that they had to face. In fact, what God decided was that those that, because of their lack of faith, that they would wander in the wilderness. And it wasn't until God decided for a specific amount of time that he would allow his children to enter into the promised land. Now, what makes it so crazy is that the people of the Israelites had faith to get out of Egypt, but they had no faith to enter into the promised land. And you see, this is how fear works in our lives. If you were to actually define fear, you would find like in scripture, there are like four different definitions. First definition you would say would be having a reverential awe of God. In other words, it's having a wonder. You may read scriptures and it says that perfect love casts out all fear. But then you'll also see how scripture says that the beginning of wisdom is when you walk in the fear of the Lord. So walking in the fear of the Lord is not so much that you're afraid of God as much as an understanding of you know who God is. In other words, it's this a way in which you live your life where you desire to honor God, that you desire to put him above anything else because you understand the weight of his glory. You understand that he is the one who gives life and who can take it away. He's also the one who blesses, when you have an understanding of who God is and how he works in our lives, you have a reverential awe of him. There's a wonder that you have of him. In other words, you don't treat him like you treat everybody else. Because you walk with a fear of him, an understanding of him. I like to put it in relationship with like a parent and a child. My son understands. He can approach me about anything and everything, but you still doesn't mean you treat me however you want. I'm dad. And in the same way, our God is our father, and we don't treat him however we want. I would say in the day of being authentic, in the day of being real, I would say this, be real and be authentic with God, but you need to have a filter. In other words, God can handle anything he's got, all right? So let me just be honest. He can handle anything, so I don't mean you can't talk to him about certain things. You can go to God with anything. But this whole idea that you can give God a middle finger and everything's going to be okay, it's not okay. We walk with the fear of the Lord. We understand who He is. We understand that He's the one who gives life. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who holds all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And at any time that I bring God down to my level, that's when things get really bad. That's when all of a sudden I start having to deal with things in my own means and in my own strength, and I miss out on the purpose and the plan that God has for me, and it's all because I don't see Him the way that I should, even how He's revealed Himself to us through His Word. So it has this awe of God, but then there's also means having a fear means having a tender conscience or having a timidity about you. Or even an alarm when it comes to facing difficulties or circumstances. In fact, that's the definition that I want to focus on. Having a dread or alarm in facing difficulties. You see, every single one of us can relate to this fact. That fear is a paralyzing force. It's a paralyzing force. It defeats us as individuals. It prevents us from living a victorious Christian life. In fact, fear creates, we would say, a chain reaction, and it impacts every single area and circumstance of our lives. I mean, if you think about it, fear has this way of creating scenarios that don't even exist. I mean, think about it when you're a child. When you're a child, you couldn't walk from the living room to your bedroom down the dark hallway because there was something in the hallway, even though there's nothing in the hallway. That's what fear does. It literally creates these scenarios in our minds of what could happen, the harm that could come to us, and all of a sudden it paralyzes us. In fact, fear is such a big deal because fear can actually lock you in and it can lock God out. Because all of a sudden, all you see is the make-believe, what could happen, how that could impact us, what is going to happen. And all of a sudden, it paralyzes you. And all of a sudden, instead of looking to God, you're looking at fear and your circumstances and your situations. We would say fear causes us to question the willingness of God to even alter circumstances in our lives. It prevents the purposes and the plans of God from coming to pass in our lives. Now, this is not a message on how fear is some way is a huge hero and we all should be under it and we all should be afraid. Now, I believe this. God's called us not to walk in fear, but to walk by faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's called us to walk by faith. In fact, faith is so important because faith begins and it ends with Jesus Christ. Scripture says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It begins with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. In other words, when it comes to our faith that we walk with and have, we can't even take credit for it. You may say, I'm a great man of faith. I'm a great woman of faith. And I would say, praise the Lord. But you can't take credit for that. Scripture says in Romans 12:3 that every man has been given a measure of faith. In other words, faith comes from God through Jesus Christ. And the beauty is that as God has given every single one of us faith to believe in Him, that you and I can't manufacture faith. We can't muster up faith. We can't even produce faith. Corinthians says this, 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? Catch this. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I love that. So we would say this, faith is one of two things. Faith is a gift from God, and faith is a gift of the, a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift from God, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. And that means it comes from God. It comes from God. Now, we would say this. Scripture teaches us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, we don't generate faith. We don't work up faith. We don't manufacture faith. We cannot obtain faith by struggling or affirming that something is. Nor can you turn your hope or desires in your own power to faith. And we would say this, faith is so vital and so important that we would say faith is required for salvation, that faith is required for daily living, that Scripture teaches us that everything that we do that does not come from faith, and it says this in Romans 14, that everything we do that has not come from faith is a sin.
In other words, we are called as the people of God to have a dependency upon God in everything we say and everything that we do. Our lives are an expression of a trust in God and believing and looking to Him. Now, what makes this so crazy is that faith is also required for you and me to experience the supernatural in our lives. Many times Jesus would say this, according to your faith, may it be done unto you. The issue was never whether or not God could do it. That's why many times they would question Jesus on whether or not he would be willing or that he could do something. And Jesus would say, you ask if I could? The issue has never been if I could do it. According to your faith, may it be done unto you. In other words, we are called to live and to walk by faith. And when we live and walk by faith, we set ourselves up to experience the supernatural and the impossible becoming possible in our lives. So this is how vital faith is. Because without faith in Jesus, not only are our lives not transformed and changed, but we miss out on God's kingdom coming to pass in our lives. So the question is this, though. When it comes to living by faith, what are some realities that we have to deal with? And so I'm going to share with you very quickly three things when it comes to living by faith. The first one is this. When it comes to living by faith, your present reality cannot be denied. Your present reality cannot be denied. Some people, when they talk about faith, they do talk about something that's very mystical and it's out there. And we're kind of like, yeah, but what about like the realities of my life, what I'm having to deal with? Well, I would say this. The Israelites were having to deal with this same issue. Now think about it. Moses sends out the 12 spies and they come back. And here's the realities. Here's what they say. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There are giants in the land. They even said we're like grasshoppers to them. So it wasn't like the idea that they just snuck around. They did sneak around, but they actually talked to some of the people in the land. Because the people even told them, you guys are tiny. You're like little grasshoppers. You're like little hobbits running around. And that's exactly what they look like. And so they come back and they're like, we're like grasshoppers in their sights. In fact, they also said this, their walls are well fortified. In other words, how in the world are we ever going to overcome them? Because if you think about it, they've been slaves for 400 years. And now they come out of Egypt. They're not warriors. You're not talking about these mighty warriors that are ready to take on the promised land. You're talking about a group of people who have been in slavery and they don't have any weapons. They don't have what the essentials that they need to really go to war. This is a reality in their lives. And for some reason, I feel like when it comes to walking by faith, that we feel like we have to deny reality. And I'm here to tell you, not if you're living by faith. When you live and you walk by faith, it's only when we acknowledge the present reality that faith has meaning. It's this whole idea, when you go to the doctor, you're like, I don't need to know the diagnosis. I have a God who heals. I don't need to know the diagnosis. No, you need to know the diagnosis so you know exactly what your God is going to help you overcome. In other words, you deal with the reality. And this is what it means to live and to walk by faith. This is exactly what God is telling his people. He's trying to get them to understand. When you walk by faith, you trust in me, you look to me. But it doesn't mean you deny reality. Sometimes I feel like we feel like we have to deny reality because in some ways we have to defend God. We have to come to his rescue and explain why he does or doesn't do something. The reality is that God can defend himself. What he asks you and me to do is just place our faith in him and trust in him. But we don't do that by denying our reality. And this is what we see through the children of Israel, that denying reality is not an expression of faith. You see, the Israelites, they saw God do some amazing things. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen God do something supernatural or incredible in your life? Let me see your hand, all right? If you've ever experienced him, if you've ever seen him do something in your life, you're no different than the people of Israel, the children of Israel. Think about this. They saw the 10 remarkable plagues. In fact, many times scholars refer to them as miracles, these 10 miracles that did, the plagues that God brought. They walked out into the Red Sea by faith. They had seen God shake a mountain by force. They had watched Moses bring down the divine law written by the finger of God. But yet, they still choose to believe a human report rather than God's promise. And if you think about it, many times we believe our fear or the opinions of other people more than we believe the promises of God and the truth of His Word. And when we live and walk by faith, it doesn't mean we deny reality. It means we look to God and we trust in Him. In fact, a myth when it comes to denying reality is this idea that the more faith we have, the more we can control our situations or our circumstances. And I would say this, Scripture doesn't teach you that. It's never taught that. In fact, it's this, it's not a matter of how much faith we have, but how accurate our faith is. In other words, someone could say, I'm a great man or great woman of faith, and I would say, praise God. But the reality is, Jesus says, you don't need big faith to see breakthroughs in your life. Hear me, you do not need huge faith, giant faith, to experience breakthroughs or the supernatural in your life. You say, well, where is that? Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 17 and verse 20. I tell you the truth. Anytime Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that is a listen up statement. That is like, this is facts right here. And he says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, a mustard seed, if I had it in my hand, you wouldn't even be able to see it from where you're sitting. A faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. In other words, it's just a matter of whether or not you have real faith. It's not a matter of how big your faith is. It's just a matter of you have real faith in God, where you're truly trusting in Him, truly relying upon Him. You see, the Bible calls the 10 spies. It says that they come in and they have a bad report, or it's even referred to as in the King James, an evil report. Why is the report evil? Why is it bad? You see, the spies were full of unbelief, and their unbelief brought deep discouragement to God's people. That's why they say it was evil. That's why they said it's a bad report. In other words, it caused the people of God to no longer believe in the promise of God, a land that He had already promised them. Now the question is this, and this is something I would ask that you'd say, Holy Spirit, well, what are you saying to me? Do you believe what your feelings or circumstances tell you, or do you believe what God has promised in your life? Do you allow your circumstances and situations to determine how your life plays out, or are you putting your faith in the promises of God, who He is, and what He said He would do in your life? That is a question that every single one of us, we all have to deal with. But when you live and walk by faith, you do not deny your current reality. But also, if you live and walk by faith, you have to understand that fear creates foolish reactions. Can I get an amen? Fear creates some foolish reactions. I want you to hear some of the things the children of Israel were saying as they're during this time. They said this, let's get out of here and return to Egypt. And this is in chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let's get out of here and let's return to Egypt. In other words, here's what they're saying. Let's return to captivity. Let's return to a sense of despair and hopelessness. They had completely forgotten the life that they had been living. In other words, their workload was unbearable. Unbearable. Not only was their workload unbearable, but the Egyptians were slaughtering their children. And they're saying, let's go back. Let's go back to having someone rule over us like that. You see, when you walk in fear, listen, when you walk in fear, you start to sound more like the devil than you do God. When you walk in fear, you start to sound more like the devil than you do God. You say, how is that? Well, the very words you speak are negative. They're not faith-filled. They're very negative. In fact, not only are they very negative, but what you'll start to do is you'll start to just notice all the problems and you completely forget the promises that God has given you. I would say this, the language of fear, now listen,
We're all friends here, okay? So I'm just telling you right now, we're all friends. But the language of fear is complaining. You see, this is what we see happening in the children of Israel's life. They come to a land, they're being taken to a land that God has promised them. And all of a sudden, they start to become overwhelmed with the people that they're going to have to face, even going into the land, and they start walking in fear. And all of a sudden, their language begins to change. And they start complaining against the Lord. Now, here's the dangers of doing this in our lives. If you're complaining, I'm telling you, you have an issue with fear. That's why I said, hey, we're friends. All right, so I've been there. We do this from time to time. But I'm just telling you, when you look at your life, there's some dangers when it comes to complaining. Complaining can become a way of life. In other words, what you see is in this period of being taken into the promised land, all of a sudden the children of Israel start complaining. And they start complaining about the bare necessities of life, food. They literally start complaining about food. In other words, when there was a cloud that protected them by day and a fire by night, that God was guiding and leading them, but God was also providing quail. He was also providing what's actually referred to as manna, which the definition, the meaning of manna is what is it, but it actually was the food of angels. In other words, it was considered to be like a pastry. In other words, like, can you imagine eating pastry that's God ordained? Come on, like, this is amazing. What was happening is the people of Israel started complaining about the food of angels. In other words, they forgot that God was even providing it, bringing it to them. They forgot, like, what God was doing among them. And they started complaining, even when it came to the bare necessities of life. I would say this, the dangers of complaining. Complaining becomes a way of life. I will say this, all you need is a brain. You know, you're air full of lungs and you can complain, all right, about anything and everything. In fact, I would say this, we probably find it easier to complain more than we even find it easier to encourage someone. It just comes natural and easy to us. But I'm telling you, complaining is a serious issue of the heart. So much so that complaining not only becomes a way of life, but it distorts our view of reality. Think about this. Here's what the children of Israel say. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Their whole reality is distorted. If God would just take us back and we just die there, what is that? In other words, the complaining had even skewed their reality of the things they were seeing. Complaining caused them to question God's care and God's plan. And complaining, really, their complaining wasn't against other people, it was against God. They never said anything bad about God. They spoke against leadership, and they spoke about the life they were living. And here's God's response to them. Because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. In other words, when we complain, you may be complaining about someone or something in your life, but what you're really saying is, God, I can't trust you to bring along anything better, and you caused all this in my life. You may not say his name, you may not even acknowledge him, but your complaint alone speaks against the plan and the purpose of God in your life. This is how serious it is in what's happening in the lives of God's people. Now I'd say this, and this is really important. Fear is a horrible counselor. Amen. It is a horrible counselor. Fear causes us and trains us to do things that we would, it causes us to even think, when there sometimes we do things, I'm like, I was outside my mind. I don't know what I was thinking when I said that or when I did that. That's what fear brings into our lives. And fear is a horrible counselor. Here's what they said. Let's choose a leader to go back to Egypt. In other words, they're trying to find someone to blame. They're trying to find something to blame. And they're trying to bring human solutions to the problems that they're facing. It's a horrible counselor. In fact, it got to a point where the whole community said, you know, here's what we need to do. We need to get a bunch of stones and we need to kill Joshua and Caleb. Scripture says this, the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. This is what fear does in your life. Fear will cause you to act out against those that are actually living and walking by faith. That's what fear will do. It will destroy the testimony of faith. Fear never relies on good judgment, godly wisdom. Fear forgets about past experiences and what God has done, and it blinds you to what God can do in the future. And the whole time, it spoils the present. It caused you to forget God's faithfulness in the past. It caused you not to believe for God to do something in your future, and it ruins your present. That's what fear does in our lives. You see, fear causes, when you're living, fear causes these weird and crazy reactions. It causes us to look as if life is not fair. But when you live and walk by faith, you say, you know what? What I'm dealing with, where God's leading me, whatever I have to overcome, it's not over because God is good. God is faithful. He's going to guide me. He's going to lead me through it. And here's the last thing, and it's this. When you live and walk by faith, faith does not always mean instant deliverance or victory. It doesn't always mean instant deliverance or victory. Now, when I say that, I feel like there's a pendulum that swings in our hearts and our minds. And we're like, amen, yes. But I will say this, and there are times that faith automatically brings it. God, we believe in God, and he brings that instant deliverance and victory. But the reality is, it's never been up to us to determine when and where. It's always been a matter of us just trusting and having faith in God that he can and he will. That's what he's called us to. And here's what you see. When God called his people to the promised land, he wanted them to go out and he wanted them to see what was happening in the land. That's why Moses sent them out. Moses did not send the spies out to determine whether or not they could take the land. He sent the spies out to gather information about the land that they were going to take. But God was going to give his people victory, but it wasn't just instant. The land was theirs, yes. But the victory in the land hadn't taken place yet because God had a plan and a purpose. In other words, scripture says this. It says this of Caleb. He says, let us go at once and take the land. Certainly we will conquer it. We have to champion Caleb and Joshua's faith. But that wasn't even according to God's plan. God was going to send his people into the land, yes, to conquer it. But Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy 7, here's what he says to them. The Lord your God will drive out those nations out ahead of you little by little. You will not clear them all the way at once. For if you did, the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. In other words, God had promised his people the land. He was going to send them into the promised land, but they weren't conquering it all at once. They were going to conquer it little by little, city by city. Sometimes when it comes to walking by faith, I believe that we could be crying out to God for something. It doesn't happen, and we say, well, I don't have victory. Or I don't have enough faith. Or maybe if I manufacture, here's what I need to do. I need to get on TV and I need to watch me a TV preacher. That's what I need to do. And you know what? I bet if I pray a little longer, if I read another extra book, then God's going to give me my victory. God's going to come through for me. And I'm here to tell you, that's just not how it works when it comes to living and walking by faith. When it comes to living and walking by faith, we trust in God, whether it comes right now or whether it comes a week from now. It's just us trusting in him and relying upon him because God has a purpose and God has a plan in every single one of our lives. You see, sometimes God's sovereign plan and will, the miraculous, depends on God's sovereignty. In other words, we don't understand when we pray why something doesn't happen. But we always understand, like, when it does happen, we're like, I know what happened. God's good. God's faithful. I asked him to do it. But when it doesn't happen, all of a sudden, here's what we do. We try to find an answer. We try to find answers. And here's what I want to encourage you with. You serve a God who is good and who is faithful. He can do anything. Our God can do anything. And my heart is breaking today because people are creating documentaries. They're trying to get you to believe that God somehow has put himself in a box and he has limited himself and that you can believe God to heal you, but it's just not his will. That is not what scripture teaches us. It has never taught that. What that is man coming up with some reason on their understanding of why God wouldn't do something the way they thought he should do it. God never called us and said, hey, create an expectation for me and see if I meet it. No. We meet God where he's at. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. In other words, when I ask for God to heal me and I'm not healed, do I understand that? No, it's a mystery. But here's what I do know. He just consistently says, keep seeking. Keep knocking, keep asking. Keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. Keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. When I say deliverance is here, deliverance is going to come, that's exactly what I believe in faith is going to happen, because that's the life he's called us to live. A life of faith, a life where we're trusting in him and looking to him and believing for him to do the impossible in our lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just amen. God wants to do that in our lives. Now I want to say this. When you live and walk by faith and you experience the supernatural, that doesn't mean we don't do anything. Amen. So let's just be honest here. If we're going to deal with reality, that doesn't mean we don't do anything. I mean, if you think about when Jesus Christ brought Lazarus back from the dead, he says, someone needs to roll that stone away. And then after he came out of the dead, he said, someone needs to get the grave clothes off of him. In other words, many times there's work that needs to be done before and there's work that needs to be done after. But the reality is we're just called to ask and do whatever we can when it comes to seeking the Lord and trusting in him. In other words, if you need a miracle, here's what you do. You ask. If you walk around with the presumptuous faith that says, I don't need to ask, God's just good and he can do it. You're right, he can do it. But the way that this works is many times your prayers are prophetic. Your prayers are prophetic. What you ask God to do determines what God does in your life. What you ask him to do determines what he does. Now, here's where God gets really good. Because you can ask him to do something, and he goes above and beyond in answering your prayer. But I'm here to tell you, like, this whole idea where we walk by faith and we're just, listen, if you just believe a move of God's going to happen and you don't have to ask for it, it's not going to happen. But if you come to God and say, God, I pray that you bring revival right here to Rocky Mount, guess what? You can believe it's going to happen. Because your God is good, your God is faithful, and he answers your prayers. He sees you, he cares, and he's moving on your behalf. This is a reality in our lives. He said, roll the stone away. He said, man, get those grave clothes off of him. And you see, this is what it's like when you live and walk by faith. So to summarize, because here's what I know. I'm pretty passionate. Sometimes I can come across as being angry. I am not angry. I love you guys. I love Jesus. And I'm passionate for God's word. And I believe that God wants to bring breakthroughs in our lives. But I want to share this with you. All right. Here's some practical things when it comes to overcoming fear with faith. The first one is this. Believe the promises and provision of God's word. Believe this book. Believe everything that's been written in this book. When you read it and he says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. Here's what some people would say. No, 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 no. You have to understand the context of that to be able to understand whether or not you can even ask God for anything at all. And I'm here to tell you, you know what? Context does matter. Absolutely. But what that verse means is that you can ask your Heavenly Father for anything. Anything. You can ask him. That's the beauty of walking with the Lord. He can handle your requests. And if it's not in line with his will, guess what? He's going to tell you. And I have more faith in God and his willingness. And I believe this, God honors courageous faith. God honors just our willingness just to come to him and say, God, will you do this? God, nothing's too hard for you. God, I believe and I trust in you. God, will you make this happen? And that's what he does every single time. Believe the promises and provision of God's word. I would say this, frequently repeat and remind yourself of God's spoken word. When you live and walk by faith, you need his promises to lead and guide and direct your life. For some of us, we literally need to memorize scripture when it says in Philippians, don't complain. I mean, that's literally what you need. God, you tell me not to complain. I choose not to complain right now. I choose to place my faith in you. Because what happens is our complaints and us not speaking in faith and speaking the word of God is destroying our witness. Along with our social media posts, all right? But it's destroying our witness. Listen, you can't go to the restaurant, complain to the waitress about the food and everything else, and then turn right around and share your faith. It's not received. It's not received. And the reason why is because those don't go hand in hand. When it comes to walking by faith and complaining, it doesn't go hand in hand. Because the Lord tells us not to complain. You can't be a jerk to your boss or respond to correction and then all of a sudden try to turn around and share your faith because you have complaints about the company and all these other things. I'm telling you, they don't go hand in hand. And the reality is that you and I have to take God's word, believe his word, and we have to speak his word over our lives. You go home and you complain to your spouse about what they're doing. I'm telling you, you're creating a future that you will not enjoy and you will not like. Amen? That is a reality of our lives. But listen, you speak faith. You speak love. You speak the word of God. Guess what? Here's what you're doing. You're creating an atmosphere and an environment where life change can happen, where God can be honored and his word will be glorified and your life will be transformed and changed. I would say this, enlist prayer and faith of other believers. In other words, man, whenever your faith is down, you're like, I just don't know if I can believe God. This is when you phone a friend. This is when you go to a friend and say, hey, will you agree with me in prayer on this thing? You know, scripture, when it talks about two or three gathering, yes, it was in the midst of having conflict, but the principle still applies for every single one of us, that we can do more together than we ever could on our own. And that when we come together as the people of God, believing in faith, we can trust the Lord and that we're going to experience him move supernaturally in our lives. Amen. I would say this, never question God's love or concern for you. You know, I would say one of the biggest issues that generations before my time has dealt with is really seeing God as the Father that he really is. You see, we understand I need to go to church, I need to pray, I need to give, I need to fast, I need to be kind, like I need to do all these things we need to do. And in the midst of that, what we can do is we can insulate ourselves and create a religion where God the Father is not seen or experienced. Scripture says this, that this is eternal life. That you may know me, the one true God. That eternal life is knowing God as your heavenly Father. And walking in relationship with him. That life is full of mystery and that life is full of wonder. And that's why you can live and walk by faith and say, you know what? I believe God can do it because there's nothing too hard for him. That's right. It's this understanding where we're walking in relationship and we're taken back by this wonder of his grace in our lives. My concern even in preaching about faith is that we turn it into something that we just, one more thing that we add to the list of what we do instead of leaning into our relationship with God, where we can ask him and talk with him and really in many ways believe and understand that the mystery of not knowing is how God reveals himself to us, but also works supernaturally in our lives. I believe this, living by faith is a choice. And every single one of us, even here tonight, we can choose on whether or not we live and we walk by faith or we allow fear to overwhelm us and to have its place in our lives. The beauty is this, is that when we turn to Jesus, here's what we find: rest, we find peace, and we find life. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. In other words, when you walk by fear, you become overwhelmed. But not only do you become overwhelmed, but it's just the burden of trying to get it right, trying to fix the problem, wanting it to be over. When Jesus the whole time is just saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll show you exactly what needs to be done. Come to me and just ask. Come to me and just ask. Come to me and just receive. Come to me and watch me do what only I can do. And here's what I believe. God wants to do that in your heart and in your life tonight. He wants to move supernaturally in you and through you. I'd ask that you bow your head with me tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you so very much for just the opportunity just to be in your presence. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for how your word is life and truth. And we just pray in these next few moments that you'd have your way in our hearts and in our lives. And God, that you would just open us up to seeing you move supernaturally, even right here. The Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us when it comes to, are we walking in fear? Are we walking by faith in you? Are we just believing that somehow circumstances will work out? Or Father, are we truly coming to you in faith and asking you to move? We know, Lord, that the relationship that we have with you, you tell us that we can count cast our cares on you because you care for us. So, Father, we want to do that in faith. Coming to you, giving you our needs because we are needy. We have so many needs. And Father, I wish we could say that we weren't like your people have gone before us, but the truth is that circumstances can overwhelm us, that fear can overwhelm us. And so, God, we look to you in these next few moments, and we just ask that you'd have your way in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to deal with the reality of our situations, even with who we are. Help us, Father, to really look and see, are we living foolishly or are we walking by faith? And so, God, speak to our hearts, and may we be strengthened and encouraged tonight by you and by your presence in these next few moments. In Jesus' name. You know, with every head bowed, every eye closed, what I want to do is I just want us to spend some time in prayer. And really, we know that God brings victory in our lives, whether it's instant or whether it's little by little. But what God calls us to is just to ask and to call upon him. And tonight, if you would say, you know what, Pastor Kendall, I need God to move supernaturally in my life. And I have faith that he will do that. And I would just ask that you would pray with me and agree with me tonight that God's going to move supernaturally. So that means if you need God to heal you, that means you're like, that's me. I want to, will you agree with me in faith that God's going to heal me? In fact, here's what I want us to do. If you would do this, if you'll stand tonight, if you'll stand. And I'm not gonna take too much more of your time, but as we're in God's presence, if you would say tonight, I need God to heal my body. I need God to heal me. What I'm gonna ask that you'd ask, I would ask that you'd raise your hand right now. You're saying, I'm gonna believe in faith. I need God to heal my body. And I believe as I pray that God's gonna move. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. See, hands are going up. Absolutely, absolutely. If you'd say right now that you have maybe a situation when it comes to provision, you're like, I need God to supernaturally provide. I want you to raise your hand. Nobody knows your business. If you'd say tonight that, you know, fear has kind of been controlling my emotions. I can see throughout my day how my response to maybe people or even the Lord has not been faith-filled. Because I say this because it can't be overlooked. We miss out when we choose to live our lives that way. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you would say, you know what, that's me, I want you to raise your hand. We're just acknowledging in God's presence, him moving in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, guys. It's awesome. It's brave. So good. So good. And here's what we want to do. We want to come to the Lord in faith. He doesn't condemn us. He rejoices in this opportunity, in these next few moments, to show that he is God. That he sees us. That he cares. Listen, God can't be your provider if you never have any needs. He can't be your healer if you never need something to be healed. But that's who he is. And he wants to show you that's exactly who he is. He wants to once again prove himself to you that he's good, that he's kind, that he's faithful, and that he's working in your life. And so here's what I want us to do. This is just as a step of faith, a sign to say, God, we believe in you. What we're going to do is if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask if you're able to come up to the front area. And then what we're going to do is just as a pastoral team is we're just going to pray for you. That's it. Now listen, some of your needs, you could be like, well, we prayed for this before. Tonight's the night. That's faith. You're saying, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep going forward. They're going to keep anointing me with oil. I'm going to keep praying on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday. And you're going to see me down here on Sunday all over again until it happens. And God's going to be glorified. I'm just going to keep asking him. And I'm going to keep knocking because little by little by little, victory is going to come. And this may be your moment. This may be the time if you believe. And I would say just what Jesus says, according to your faith, may it be done unto you. So if that's you tonight, if you raised your hand, just as a sign of faith, I'm going to ask that you'd step out and that you'd come to the front. And then we're just going to spend some moments just praying for you. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to pray for you tonight. That's all we're going to do.